RVFTA's Campground of the Week is sponsored by Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, visit jayco.com.
America the Beautiful. There is adventure to be found around every corner.
And there is no better way to explore it than by staying at one of our country's 14,000 campgrounds.
Our team of correspondents will guide you to the best places to park your rig or pitch your tent.
On each week's episode, we'll give a complete review of one campground, location, activities, amenities, best sites, and tons of other insider intel.
Plus, we'll talk about regional highlights, food, culture, attractions, family fun, and all things great outdoors.
From the East Coast to the West Coast, and from the Great Lakes to the Mississippi Delta, it's time to hit the open road with RVFTA's Campground of the Week. Our southern correspondents are Keith and Tia Sims of SoulfulRVFamily.com. Keith is a retired NFL star and current television commentator for the Miami Dolphins. He and his wife Tia are RV fanatics and spend much of the off-season exploring America in their Newmar Class A.
Welcome to the show, Keith and Tia.
Hi, good to be back.
Hi, how you doing?
It's very nice good to have you. Last time on episode number 8, you took us to Smoky Mountain Premier RV Resort in Cosby, Tennessee. Where are you taking us to this week?
Well, we will stay in the great state of Tennessee, but this time we will swing over to Nashville and take you to the Nashville KOA. Now, keep in mind, there are three KOAs in the Nashville area. There's Nashville East, Nashville North, and then the KOA we love the best, and that is the Nashville KOA located at 2626 Music Valley Drive.
All right, and thank you so much for making that clarification, because that can really get confusing for people. And then we'll also make sure that we put, you know, that the address
we'll
in the show notes.
We'll link to the right campground in the show notes.
Right, so everybody knows where we're going.
So it would be a shame if people didn't know where Nashville is, but let's not assume they do. So just situate us maybe a little bit with the geography of where Nashville is in the great state of Tennessee.
Well, it's right off of I-40, right in the middle of Tennessee, not too bad. About 45 minutes from Chattanooga. We always pass it on our way to Nashville, right off the mountains. So it's a beautiful location, and anybody who loves music knows Nashville.
Yeah, this is a party, right? You gotta go to Nashville ready to have fun.
You absolutely do. I mean, literally the campground is across the street from the Grand Ole Opry, so you have an opportunity to go there. There's the mall. I mean, there's just we could talk endlessly.
There's a ton of things. Don't steal my thunder. Go
ahead. I'm sorry.
Don't jump ahead.
Don't steal that thunder.
Right.
Okay. Now we know that there are also a ton of campgrounds to stay at in this area, but you have chosen this one. You say that the Nashville KOA is just a cut above any of your other options in the area, and now we want to know why. Let's zoom in. All right, tell us a little bit about this campground.
Well, the campground is right off the highway, but there's a lot of campgrounds in the area you can choose from. We actually used this one about 2 years ago when we were heading out to Mount Rushmore, so we stopped over for one night. We loved it so much, we went back this year and spent 5 days there for the Thanksgiving holiday and did our first RV Thanksgiving there. The sites are spacious. We booked, of course, a deluxe patio site, and there's actually 63 deluxe patio sites, long pull-throughs. You can have your towed. They have fire rings at these, nice patios, and a beautiful kind of couples swing.
The patio swing was my favorite thing, to sit by the fire at night with the swing and a glass of my favorite wine.
As long as you can keep the kids off of it, right?
Exactly.
Absolutely. On their website, they seem to really have a lot of photos of those deluxe sites, all with big rigs, I noticed in the photos. So it seems like they want to kind of promote themselves as big rig friendly. Did you feel that a little bit?
They are certainly big rig friendly, but there is truly something for everyone. There's tent campers. They have deluxe cabins and camping cabins. They have 18 deluxe cabins. The deluxe cabins are fully furnished with linens. They have a kitchenette, TV, bathrooms, grill, patio areas. So if you don't have an RV, you can still go there and enjoy the campground.
So would you call it a large campground, a medium-sized campground? Definitely not a small one.
It's not a small one by any means, but even though I'd probably say it was medium, you don't feel like it's too big. When we were there, everybody came out. There was actually a Class A right across the street that had kids, and the mom's kids were over. They were over toast. I mean, I don't even know the kids' names, and they were grabbing sticks to toast s'mores. And just like we are parents, the mom came over and apologized. I'm so sorry. We're like, no, everybody's welcome. Great. So you got that friendly feel of the campground.
Now, I know KOA has branded a lot of their campgrounds over the last year, right? We have Journey, Holiday, or Resort. Is this one branded?
This one is a resort. So it's actually one of those destinations you can come to, and you don't necessarily have to leave, but you're going to want to leave and explore Nashville while you're there.
All right. So it really is going to have a long list of those amenities that are required for a KOA to be called a resort. And I guess you're going to tell us about them in a minute, right?
Absolutely. We pretty much tested out most of them, to be honest with you.
All right. Yeah. Good. All right. Now, what about booking? You said you stayed on an overnight and then you went back again for a longer trip. Was it easy to get a spot there?
It really was. We are planners. We've learned from you guys. And when you have a big rig, you tend to plan a little bit ahead. But I actually booked it through the app. And I know I wanted a deluxe patio site. And having been there before, it was very easy to select a deluxe patio site. They gave us the options as far as 50 amp service length, the room, the fire ring, and all those things we were looking for. And then once we arrived, the location they gave us, I think, was site on row I, 66 toward the end, was really comfortable.
Now let's talk money. What does it cost to get a deluxe site there? What's the price range in general? What do you got? What do you got info wise for us there?
Well, it's not too bad. I mean, you're going to spend about $75 a night for one of the deluxe patio sites. If you drop down to a full hookup site, you're about $11 less, at $64. If you want a basic pull through, you're at $60. Now, the cabins, the deluxe cabins, start about the $145 range per night. But again, that's fully loaded and linens included at that point.
Oftentimes we look at that price as just in a different category in and of itself, because it's almost like you're renting a little cottage somewhere, like a vacation cottage, which to me, $145 a night sounds good for that.
I think that deluxe site price sounds good too, if you're getting the swing and looking at the pictures of them. Like you said, you have a big site as well.
You really do, and you're very, very comfortable there. And that's before, remember, most of us are KOA VIP members, so you take 10% off that price for with VIP membership. If you aren't a membership, you should be for the discounts. But I think it's very reasonable for what you're getting. Like you said, plenty of space. We didn't even have to unhook our vehicle when we pulled in. We left it hooked up the whole time until we were going out to venture out. So plenty of space to spread out and feel comfortable.
All right. So, Keith, tell us a little more about the individual sites. You said you were in a pull-through. You know, sometimes these pull-throughs are very open, right? Not a lot of trees, not a lot of landscaping. Can you describe those sites and then also kind of compare that with some of the other sites that were available?
Absolutely. Our site actually had a tree on the side, in the back and on the front corner. And it is a row. I mean, you do have Class A's lined up in a row. But again, because you had grass in between and they had some rocks in there, so they had some nice landscaping in between all the sites, you didn't feel like you were just in a parking lot, even though the roads inside were all paved. So the kids were out there on their scooters every single day, which was great for us.
And I also didn't feel like my kids were right up on top of the sewer hookups. So that
love
was
it.
right.
And you got to think about that. When you get that really long pull-through site, sometimes they're not very wide. So that's a big deal to me when it's really nice and long for your 43-foot rig, your towed, and then you're not looking right smack at those sewer hookups.
Absolutely.
Now, were there some sites that were a little more tucked away? Were there back-ends that, I don't know, maybe were a little more private?
There were certainly some toward the back end of the campground, and that's one of those areas where I read some reviews, and before we went there, there was some negative reviews out there, because when you head to the back part of the campground, it backs up to a residential area, no back fence, and where the tents were, it had a lot of rain in Nashville, so there was a lot of complaints about being in the mud and those kind of things. Again, we didn't experience that in a deluxe patio site, but I guess you got to be careful of that. And that's where the seasonals are kind of placed over there, and you know, some people don't like being up against seasonals because sometimes the feeling's not the same as a normal campground.
All right, so this is a KOA resort, and it's supposed to have all kinds of amenities. So tell us, what were your favorite amenities at the campground?
Well, first of all, the camping store was fully stocked when we went in. I really enjoyed that. And one of the issues when you're camping in a city, it's parking. and the KOA campground had a shuttle. Only $10 round trip to bring you in anywhere you want, and you call them, they pick you up. Love that concierge service with different tours you could do, basic stops you can see. At the campground, when you're walking into the campground store, they had a cafe, full service cafe, breakfast, lunch, dinner. You could call your order in or you could go dine in the cafeteria. Out front in the grassy area, they had a huge bowling alley, outdoor bowling alley, huge chess set. So, you know, I was able to entertain the kids and have fun with that. And if it was raining, when you went into the lounge off of the cafe, there was a huge, three or four huge Connect Four sets. They had checkers and chess tables. They had ping pongs. They had leather chairs and a TV to lounge around. So even if the weather wasn't cooperating, you had a place to go inside and kind of relax and have your kids have some fun.
It almost had like a lodge type of feel. Do you agree?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. It felt that way because they had the fireplace going. Again, we were there at Thanksgiving last time, so it was a little bit chill in the air. And they did have the fireplace going, so...
You know, it's so special when a place has really comfortable shared spaces, also along with nice family-friendly games. It, like, really helps you
that
to spend time together.
Outdoor bowling looked really fun. I saw the photo of that. I don't think I've ever seen that particular thing at any campground.
Yeah, I hadn't seen that before. We hadn't seen that before, and it was fun. The kids, of course, you know our boys, they're trying to ride their scooters down the bowling alley instead of rolling the ball. But
of course they are.
Boys will be boys.
What else did they have outside for us to enjoy?
Right off the camp store, they have their back patio where they were actually renovating it at Thanksgiving, and I can't wait to see the renovations. They have the pool with the hot tub, and it's a huge pool. They also have a separate little kiddie pool area, which you like for little kids, and shelter off that. They've got a nice playground, which they were renovating as well, off the same area. So if you're a kid, if you have kids, you want to be parked closer to that to make it easy for your kids to go play. They had a dog park on site, a little dog run where you could run the dogs too, and then... they had, of course, the hot tub and the sauna as part of it as well.
So obviously, I mean, you said there's going to be all kinds of great stuff to do in Nashville. But if you wanted to do a whole day at the campground, like piece of cake, no problem here, right?
Oh, more than a day. You could, when we went in the summer, again, we were only there for one day the first time we went. We could have spent two or three days there just relaxing, letting the kids play on the playground, spending all day at the pool. You could literally spend a couple days there and not have to leave and not be bored.
Now, we camped this Thanksgiving, too, and I have to ask you, were there a lot of other people there celebrating Thanksgiving? Like, what was the vibe like doing a holiday at the campground?
I think that's probably the most families I've actually seen at a campground at one time, other than, you know, being in camping season during the summertime. It was a very nice feeling. It wasn't overly crowded, I don't feel like it was overly crowded.
No.
There were a couple of spaces that were empty. It started to fill up closer, I think, to actual Thanksgiving Day. But the campground was full with kids, and they were playing. And that's actually best for me, because trying to cook a Thanksgiving dinner for the first time in the RV, it was great to have the kids outside and busy and active and doing their thing.
That sounds good. That sounds really good. We enjoyed camping Thanksgiving, too.
Yeah, we'll definitely do
it's
it
not
again.
Our last time.
It was something special for us. And for us, we had some friends. I played football with one of my best friends. He passed away about 10 years ago, and his widow came over with her four or five kids. I hadn't seen them in a couple of years. So to have Thanksgiving with that and us to reminisce, I mean, I had introduced them together. That's how they met. So we've gone back 20 years, and to spend Thanksgiving with them and her kids was really a special Thanksgiving for us.
Very sentimental moment, right?
Yes, it was.
Great. Good.
All right. Now, that there's all of these activities to do outside. What about organized activities? Do they have a schedule, you know, where they've got a rah-rah coach kind of gathering kids together to do crafts or anything?
They actually had a potluck for Thanksgiving for any campers who were there. And when I was out front, and this is just a little divergent off here, I took the kids over to the bowling alley in the chess set, and I met a family from Canada that had come down. There were eight kids in a travel trailer with their mom and dad, and they came down. They were all homeschooled, and our kids played together for 3 hours while Tia was cooking dinner, and it was just phenomenal. So back to the organized activities. I'm just telling you, that was one of those special moments that you meet other families that are on the road or traveling a lot, and it was funny because the girl, she was like 13, and she was like an adult. She talked so so eloquently and really was taking in charge of all these other little brothers and sisters. And one of her comments was like, we never see anybody else, any other families camping. So they were thrilled to meet us and have an opportunity to spend some time with our kids.
I appreciate you guys talking about the Thanksgiving experience, because I think there's a lot of people out there thinking like, why, this might be a really nice option to spend Thanksgiving, particularly if your family's dispersed all over the country. Campground can be a lot of fun. And apparently you can cook a meal there too, Tia.
Oh, I
cook a meal. Oh my goodness!
I found out that I can actually burn some good food.
I mean burn
in a positive way. So no, it was fairly easy. I think for me, the key to Thanksgiving in an RV was having the right gadgets, and the kitchen gadgets. I mean, not Keith's geeky gadgets, but yeah, that's the key to the Thanksgiving meal, and we were able to put something together that was pretty.
It was spectacular, honey. You did a phenomenal job.
Thank you.
She really did. Nobody was hungry, and everybody was going back for seconds and thirds. It was so good.
And all the people were coming over from all the other RVs, right? You had a line around the Newmar.
We certainly had a lot of people coming out. To your question about the activities, because the pool and the hot tub area, and that was under reconstruction at that particular point, remodeling, some of those activities that normally would take place were not. But during the summer, they have a full list of daily activities going on, whether it be s'mores at the public area for the campground, or the fire ring, the pool activities, the kiddie stuff in the pool during the day. So they have a ton of those things going on.
All right, so what do we need to know to have the very best time at this campground? Give us your insider scoop.
Ooh, that's a tough one. It's such a great location. I think you have to give yourself enough time. And I think that's it, because you want to be able to enjoy the area and you want to be able to relax and enjoy the campground. It's certainly a place where you can go and take 2 or 3 days and just relax, kick back and relax. But you're going to want to get out and explore Nashville a bit. Definitely that. And then if you're a little bit concerned about road noise because you are close to the road, you want to get a little bit toward the interior of the campground. We were, I think, what, 2 or 3 spots away from the edge where the cabins were, which are right up against the road, and we were fine, but some people might be a little sensitive to that.
Particularly if you're in a pop-up camper or maybe a hybrid or something, yeah, that's a great tip. So just ask to be a little bit away from that road.
Exactly. That's all you need.
All right, yep. So nobody's perfect. What do you got for us?
For me, I think the number one thing was, in a big rig, especially with your tow vehicle attached, you want clear directions how to get in and out of that campground. And they weren't clearly marked. And that's what I would change a little bit. We were pulled through, so you pull out, and we actually did 2 loops to find the exit, the right way to exit the campground. So they could do a slightly better job of marking the exits clearly.
I love that nobody's perfect tip. I think that that's a really good one. And for any of our campground owners that are listening, like, we just want really clear directions when we enter.
Well, and
leave
I also like that because it's easily fixed.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a huge expense to change your map up or put a few more signs up so people are a little bit more comfortable and confident getting in and out. So that's a good one.
Now, I'm going to ask you one more question because it occurred to me when you were just talking about the roads. You said that the roads were paved, which is obviously great if you have kids that like to scoot or bike ride, etc. How was the traffic within the campground?
We didn't find it bad at all. We weren't on the main exit, as we found out with our second loop, or the main entrance. But really, if somebody wasn't pulling in or pulling out, and again, the campground was probably 50-60% full, maybe, at that point at Thanksgiving, we were fine. No problem whatsoever. The kids could go all the way down the street on their scooters and not have a single issue.
Thank you so much for that review of the Nashville KOA. We are going to be back in a second with Keith and Tia Sims to talk about the activities and attractions near the Nashville KOA. Stay tuned.
Since 1968, Jayco, the world's largest privately owned RV manufacturer, has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories together.
Today, Jayco offers everything from camping trailers to gas Class A motorhomes, complete with more standard features and a longer, stronger 2-year warranty.
Jayco gives you the value you're looking for and the peace of mind you deserve. lots of family fun is to be had around a campfire with a Jayco nearby.
For more information, visit your closest Jayco dealer or jayco.com. Jayco, generations of family fun.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are here with Keith and Tia Sims of SoulfulRVFamily.com, and they just gave us a terrific review of the Nashville KOA, and now they're going to take us into Nashville and tell us about all the great activities for family fun.
What do you got for us, Tia?
Well, our first stop while we were in Nashville was the Adventure Science Center. Now, our boys are so into the solar system. They've been into the solar system for about 4 months now. And anything sciencey, solar system, they eat it up. So we were looking around. We have a membership to the Association of Science and Technology Centers Travel Passport Program, which allows us to visit hundreds of science centers across the country at no cost as long as you buy into this membership. Well, Adventure Science Center was on that list of members. So we saw the Adventure Science Center solar system exhibit there, which if you're an adult taking your kids, you kind of want to get involved in this process because they have a moonwalk simulator. It was it was so much fun. They lift you into the air and you're touching down and lifting back up.
Wait. You said it was so much fun, but she laughed at me when I did it.
Because it was funny.
She didn't do it, but I had a blast.
She saw that it was so much fun, Keith. And she had fun making fun of you, I'm sure.
I yes, had a blast. Listen, the next time I see you, I'm going to show you a video. It's hilarious.
Can't wait.
Maybe we could put that in the show notes.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. They also have a planetarium there. And they have this human body exhibit, which our kids are also pretty fond of. And the kids could actually crawl through a heart, climb up a spine. It was really interesting. So it not only kept the kids engaged in learning, but they got their physical activity done too.
Tia, that sounds like so much fun. It sounds like right up our alley. But you know what I want you to do? I want you to send me the link for the membership that you just mentioned, because I want to include that for everybody if they're going to try to find that, because we love memberships that gain us access to places everywhere we travel.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One more spot in the Science Center, and you can participate in this at your own risk, was an age simulation.
Eek!
My kids sat in it, and it will depict what you will look like within 30 years' time. So I'm sorry I didn't take part in it. It wasn't my cup of tea, but it was fun to watch and see what my kids would look like.
Did Keith do it?
I missed this particular
conveniently.
I was climbing up spines with Justin at that point.
What we don't know won't hurt us.
Did
right?
it seem believable, or was it kind of like weird and freaky to see the kids do it? I mean, did you go like, oh yeah, okay, that makes sense, or what? Yeah.
You know what? I think Jason was a little too young to do it, but I saw some teenagers get in there, and it actually looked a little freaky. It was kind of creepy, actually.
Yeah. I don't want to see my kids. I don't even like to think about the fact that they're going to be taller than me, much less what they're going to look like 30 years from now.
Oh, and it's coming.
All right. So where else are we going to go?
Fort Negley. Now, as a homeschooler, I love these educational stops. This one is billed as the largest inland military fort that was built during the Civil War. And it's a long trail that actually goes in a loop around the fort. And at every, I don't know how many meters, but at every stop, there would be this rest stop, and they would have a placard and give you the history of what went on at the fort, little tidbits all around. So it was very interesting. And, our boys were going around and reading these signs and kind of, I think it was more confusing for them at this age, like, why were they fighting? But it was very good. Now, there's also a visitor center at the beginning of your journey into the fort, and they give you all this literature and things about the fort and what happened there and good tidbits.
And one of the things that I think you were talking about, things that confuse the kids, is a lot of the placards, historical placards, were talking about how the slaves built this fort and so many died and that kind of thing. So we're trying to explain to the kids, well, what are slaves and why did they have to do this and why didn't they just go home? And there was one plaque I remember in particular that talked about how so many died because they had to sleep out in the cold while they were building this fort. And it was a mixed breed for us. It was great for us to educate the kids, but they might be a little bit too young to really understand the whole concepts. But we got up to the top of this fort, and you got beautiful views of Tennessee because you're up in the mountain there.
I think the exposure is still great, though. You know, even if they're not processing everything necessarily, I think it does enrich their lives and help them. Like at a certain point later, it's all going to click, right?
Oh, yeah. We find that with Washington, D.C. I mean, we were at the, you know, Vietnam Memorial, and I mean, how do you explain that, you know?
Right.
So, but you do. You do your best, and you figure they're going to put the pieces together, you know, in the future. So we think it's worth it to just kind of go through that very difficult process as parents of trying to explain things.
Now, would you say the Science Center is like a rainy day activity and the fort is like a nice day activity, or is that oversimplified? Simplifying the two things?
You know, I look at it two ways. The rainy day activity, I don't want to put it in that category because I think this could be any day, rain or shine, because it was just that interesting. And we didn't see everything at the center. We went to 1.5 days.
Yeah, we went back a second day. It was so much fun.
Right.
Wow.
And we still didn't get to experience and see everything. So this is something that, you know, especially if you've got that membership, you can say, if I'm going to be here for a week, I'm going to go 2 or 3 days, you know, for a couple of hours here, a couple of hours there, just to break the day up.
Right, because I'm not taking my kids there for 7 hours. You know, like it's like a half day thing for our kids anyway.
Right, exactly.
All right, so what else should we do for family fun?
Okay, the next stop is kind of like a combo. This is Centennial Park, which it was great. It was open grass. They could go out and play and rip and run, but it was also educational. There was a huge playground there that the kids could play and burn off some steam. There is the Parthenon, and I had not heard about the Parthenon before we had made this trip. Keith said he had, but this is a replica of the original Parthenon in Greece, what it would have looked like in its heyday, and it's life size.
Oh my gosh.
It's this massive building. I think I was the only one that went in. The kids were just having too much fun outside.
No, that and they wanted to charge us for all the kids. So I was like, yeah, you can go in and check it out.
True, indeed. But it wasn't that much money. I think it was like $7 for entry, if I'm not mistaken. I can go back and check for you. But inside there's that full statue of Athena that's inside there, just like the Parthenon, you know, would have been in Greece. And it is amazing.
is the park downtown Nashville, or where? Like roughly, where is it located?
Yeah, it's not quite downtown. It's on the outskirts of the city. It's about 15 minutes, maybe, from the campground. So as you're entering the city, it's right there. It was
right outside of Vanderbilt University.
That's what I'm saying, because we ate across the street, and you could see we were right next to the Vanderbilt University Stadium at that point.
All right, all these activities are making me hungry.
Well, Centennial Park, and she's just scratching the surface of it, because after you kind of walk around the Parthenon, it is a beautiful area. We took a ton of pictures, beautiful lakes, and the ducks were there. They had a huge...
Wish I had a professional photographer, because it was gorgeous, the lake and the ducks, and the fall foliage was kind of still there, and it was so beautiful. We took a ton of pictures. There was a fighter plane.
There was a fighter train. There was a big train you could go on, exhibit out there.
A steam engine train that... you can see and talk about. And I wish I had done a unit study on that before we went there, but.
And as we pulled to the park, there's this huge, I mean, it must've been probably two or three football fields long to get to the Parthenon of open grass. And some kids from Vanderbilt were playing tackle, touch football out front. So that was kind of fun to see that, you know, back to the college days.
Now this sounds, there's like a recurring theme here. You seem like you want to go back. Right? Like all these things you're saying, we could have gone back, we could have seen more. I mean, is this going to be a yearly event for you, going to this KOA and visiting Nashville?
Oh, yes. We're going back. We're going back. And I liked it as our Thanksgiving destination. It wasn't that far from our home here in Georgia. And it's a great getaway. It's a great park.
You have such a positive experience every time you visit an area or a campground, you just want to go back. And the changes that they've made, that they're making now to the pool and the hot tub area and the playground, I can't wait to see that. So we would have no qualms whatsoever going back again next year. In fact, it'll probably be a yearly destination for us.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, Nashville is a huge foodie town. I mean, anybody that knows or that's been there knows it's hard to pick and choose among all of your options. So what is one place that we cannot miss if we go to Nashville?
Well, Nashville is known for its hot chicken, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention Hattie B's hot chicken. It is off the chain. We had such a wonderful lunch there, and I mean, after having...
can you do that noise again on demand?
What is that noise?
That's I want Hattie. That's I want hot chicken. That's what that chicken noise is. I know.
Don't
exactly
do that again.
What that noise is.
Okay, yes, we will be back.
Yes, definitely. And after we thoroughly stuffed ourselves for Thanksgiving, we had the nerve to go to Hattie B's a couple of days later with all the leftovers that we still had. But
do
it was.
Do you want to, Tia, can you explain for our listeners, give them the hot chicken rundown?
Oh my gosh, I don't even know how to explain it. And it comes in like four lethal varieties of hot.
You can get it mild if you don't. It's a spicy fried chicken. And you can get it really, really hot, and Nashville is known for hot chicken. Or you can get it mild or medium or, like, you know, inferno. I don't know what the actual level is.
You know, you like
can wuss out.
You like to be able to still taste your chicken at the end of the day.
But it is so good. I mean, it was...
Their sweet tea was good. I mean, the South is known for sweet tea.
Yes.
But, I mean, it was delicious. What else did we have there?
I don't even remember it. Do we have anything else besides hot chicken?
Just hot chicken. More and more and more hot chicken. That's what I was going to ask about the sides, but it sounds like you're in a hot chicken fog.
Yeah. And we got the kids' chicken tenders, which were real chicken tenders, and they were so good.
Delicious.
I mean, delicious.
Now, where'd you go for dessert?
Well, Hattie B's is nestled conveniently right next door to Gigi's Cupcakes. So I think we took about 2 dozen cupcakes back to the RV, because after Hattie B's, I don't think any of us had any room to enjoy a cupcake. But later on that evening, I sure did with my cup of coffee.
Yeah, and that's a really great tip too, if you're RVing, like, bring food back to the camper when you have the opportunity. When we go to like a lunch place and they have amazing bread, we're like, we're RVing. We can bring a loaf back for the rest of the week, right? And it's just
isn't that great?
It is. It's awesome, especially when you travel and you stay in a hotel and you have this wonderful meal out and they're like, would you like me to wrap that for you? And you're like, no.
Absolutely.
I have nowhere to keep it. Now, Keith and Tia, I'm going to throw a little bit of a curveball at you. I'm going to ask you, you mentioned all these family-friendly activities. Mm-hmm. Is there anything in Nashville that you have done before, you know, being there with kids, something at more of the couples that you really enjoy and that you'll look forward to enjoying again when the kids are a little bit older?
Oh, like I said, we really haven't scratched the surface. You think Nashville, we didn't even talk about country music. So there's so many tours we could do there, so many things we could experience there. There's one little thing that we did. We actually left the K-Way at one point, and we went to a local water park called Nashville Shores. And that's a place you can actually camp at. They have a campground, so we could review that in the future. But they had an adventure. Zip line adventure. It was 3.5-4 hours, and it was incredible. I had a blast doing it. Of course, my wife didn't want to do it, but she cheered me on from the ground and when I was in the trees and those kind of things. So if you like that adventure stuff, that is something you could do as a couple perfectly.
All right, yeah, that's my
So you could have a couple very different types of trip to Nashville, obviously. I mean, there's the trip you could have with kids. If you're traveling with just your spouse, you could have a very different type of trip that was based on nightlife, music, and all of that stuff, right?
Oh, definitely, definitely. And I can't wait to grow up and enjoy that side of it.
Yeah, I know.
Especially if you enjoy music at all. There's clubs everywhere. You think about it, you can go out and discover the next great country music star because they're all there. They're all trying to be discovered. So there's tons of different venues to go to listen to live music.
Keith and Tia, where can our listeners find you guys out there in social media?
Well, you can find us at soulfulrvfamily.com. We are on Pinterest. We are on Facebook. We are on Instagram
and Twitter. Of course.
And Twitter.
Awesome, guys. Thank you so much for that review of the Nashville KOA. And thanks again to Jayco, our sponsor. To view their complete line of RVs, head on over to jayco.com. We'll see you guys at the campground.
Sounds good.
See you there. Thank you.
See you there. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in to RVFTA's Campground of the Week.
Links to the campground and regional attractions can be found in the show notes at campgroundoftheweek.com.
And don't forget to check out the other podcasts in our network.
RV Family Travel Atlas is hosted by yours truly, Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi, and available every Friday morning.
And Girl Camper, Going Places, Doing Things, is hosted by Janine Pettit and released every Tuesday morning.
Join us next Thursday for another great review from our team of campground correspondents who will inspire you to hit the open road and explore America the Beautiful.